When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Blush. I'm your host, Hiva, and we are going to have the most fun hour today because it is Nowruz, aka Persian New Year, and this episode is going to give you the secret for making this year the best year yet of your life. Now, if it's your first time listening to Blush, first of all, welcome here. Second, I think you're going to be really surprised by one thing. I think other podcasts often will give you the motivation and the inspiration to make changes in your life, but you then turn off the show and you're like, okay, and you just go about your life, right? Nothing changes. You don't really integrate anything. What's different about Blush is you are going to get actual step-by-step actions of things you can do, the steps you can take. You're going to leave this show so empowered and knowing exactly how to implement everything that you just heard for the past hour. So without further ado, let's get into it. Actually, a little bit of ado. We did not have an episode last week because I had had oral surgery the week prior, and I actually really scheduled my surgery such that I would have the longest possible window to recover before having to record again. Yet, last weekend when it was time to record, I kept putting it off until the last possible day that I could record, and I just was not mentally, emotionally ready. Physically, I was probably okay, to be honest, but I'm still kind of grappling mentally with the surgery, which I know is weird because it's like literally oral surgery. Like, I had a tooth extracted. It's not that deep. Like, I had my 4 wisdom teeth removed all at once, and I dealt with it much better than I've handled this. This really set off a series of weird fucking anxieties for me. And I already, like, I can feel the empty space of where the tooth is really vividly in my mouth. And it's really freaking me out to talk for an hour straight, but we're going to do it. And hopefully I don't bleed everywhere. No, I won't. I mean, it's been long enough now. But yeah, that's why we didn't have a show last week. And I feel trepidatious and weird right now, but whatever, let's get into it. So in order to achieve the life of your dreams, there are 5 steps that we're going to talk about. So step 1 is to really just figure out your goals. And this is kind of like an obvious step, or at least it feels obvious, but it is really, really important to spend some time here and really make sure that your goals are appropriate and that they're really authentic to you. The second step is identifying your blocks, and these are limiting beliefs, shames, and fears that are standing between you and the goal. The third step is to remove the blocks. The fourth step is to create some kind of action plan. And the fifth step is to just carry out that action plan. And the fifth step honestly just flows. If you've done steps 1 through 4, step 5 isn't even a thing. It's just going to happen without you even thinking about it. So step 1 is to get really fucking clear on your goals. And I came up with this little acronym that I thought might be helpful. You want rad goals. I feel so cheesy saying this. Like, I'm not this type of person. Like, I'm not a let's come up with fun acronyms, guys. Like, that's just not really my thing. But I do think it works here and I think it's memorable. So let's just suspend disbelief and like lean into the cheese for a minute. So you want rad goals. And rad stands for realistic, authentic, and dreamy. So by realistic, I mean they should be achievable in the next 12 months. And I say 12 months because that's roughly the amount of time that our brains can wrap around really well. A goal that would take longer than that to achieve, you're not going to be able to hold on to the motivation to actually carry it out. Now, it can be less than 12 months to achieve, but we'll talk about that on the other end with the dreamy part because you do also want to make sure your goals are big enough. But what is realistic for you really depends on your limiting beliefs and the things that you've been exposed to. For example, a goal, let's say you currently have 100 Instagram followers, and you might set a goal of wanting a million Instagram followers. For a lot of people, I would say that that's not a realistic goal right this second to jump from 100 to a million, right? Like most people don't actually feel like they could achieve that within a year. And putting it outside of that year framework just makes it feel kind of crazy. So it would make sense to break it down maybe to 100K, maybe 10,000, maybe 50,000. It depends. But then there are people for whom that might seem completely feasible and achievable. There's this food content creator that I came across a few months ago on Instagram. I forget what her handle is, but she's like a private chef based out in the Hamptons. I think she lives in Brooklyn. She private chefs in the Hamptons, and she has like kind of a fun attitude and stuff. She's not vegan. She does a lot of meat and stuff, and she seems like a really, really great chef, and her videos have a lot of personality and stuff. She, I think, hit a million followers in like 2 weeks or something nuts like that. So it is possible, right? There are people out there who do it. And if you are exposed to a lot of people like this one, you know, private chef out in the Hamptons, then to you, it might seem like nothing. Like, of course, I could totally reach a million followers in a year, no problem. But for other people, like personally, I wouldn't set a goal of reaching a million followers because I don't like my subconscious doesn't really think that that's believable in the next year. It's not realistic for me. And therefore, I wouldn't really have the motivation to really be able to achieve it. As far as authentic, this is really like one of the most important parts. You really want to make sure the goal that you're setting is the goal that you want and not something that someone else wants for you or something that you want to achieve in order to get a certain reaction from other people. So like, for example, I spent 3 years when I was in law school trying to like manifest a big law job. I didn't want a fucking big law job. I did not want to be at like a top 50 law firm. Like that's so far from what my soul authentically wants, but it's what I thought I should want when I started law school. And I realized that that was everyone's goal in law school. So I was like, okay, well, like, I guess we're doing the thing now, huh? But that's not what I actually wanted. Similarly, there have been times, I'm trying to think of like a good example of this. No, that's not a good example. Okay, let me think. When the comedian and I broke up and when I finally kind of grappled with that breakup and then, started looking to find a new relationship, there were a lot of characteristics that I wanted in a future partner that I thought I wanted that weren't things that I actually wanted. There were more things where I was like, for example, I wanted someone who's more famous than the comedian. I didn't actually really want to be with someone who was more famous. There were two things. Number one, I actually probably wanted to be famous myself, and that's why I was like drawn to people who had a little bit of fame. But the other thing was like, I kind of wanted someone who was doing the same thing the comedian was, but better, because that would kind of sting for him, right? So that's like, you really want to make sure that your goals that you're setting are really authentic to you. And I have a little exercise that can help you really get to the bottom of that. And the last letter in our little rad acronym is D for dreamy. And I really want you to dare yourself to dream big. And the dreamy and the realistic part of this really have to be in harmony with each other, right? Like, they're the two that are going to kind of balance each other out. Because on the one hand, you really want to dream big and not just like set like dumb, meager goals that feel really achievable, but like really dream, like really, like what do you actually truly want? Like, dare yourself to like fantasize and get out there and like really own what you want, because you'll never have what you want unless you can really, really own it. So that's my fun little cheesy acronym. Now, for getting clear on your goals, there are actually 5 steps that I recommend that you take. And I love how we're now like steps within steps. Like, you can tell that I have a lot of earth energy in my chart. Oh my God, is my voice going? That was really weird. Because like things are always so outlined and numbered and like letter bullet pointed, you know, like there's like such a structure to everything that I talk about, but it just really, really helps me. So this is how I recommend you go about it. By the way, as you're listening, if you are a Blush Academy member, I made a little spring challenge for Blush Academy members, and it's basically everything that we talk about today, but it's just fleshed out with like guided meditations and neural rewiring practices and journal prompts and just everything that we're talking about all in one place with an assignment for every single day for the next 5 weeks that you can like literally follow along. So yeah, if you're an Academy member, you don't even need to like bother taking notes and stuff. Just hop into the Academy and go to the Spring Forward Challenge, and it's gonna have everything distilled down for you. If you're not a Blush Academy member, the challenge isn't like available as like a standalone thing. Like, you can't just like purchase the challenge. You could join the Blush Academy, I guess, to get it, but you also literally can like just write down everything that I'm saying. The only benefit of being in the challenge is like there is neural rewiring practices and breathwork sessions and things that are, you know, really recorded, ready for you to actually implement and use, and everything is structured by day. Anyway, so step one to really get clear on your goals is, I really like to do this. This is what works for me. Close your eyes and visualize your ideal day. So like, what time are you waking up? What are you doing? What's the first thing that you do? What does your morning routine look like? Where are you? What sounds are you hearing? What are you wearing? What do you have for breakfast? How are you filling your day? What are you doing for lunch? Who are you around? You know, literally, what activities are you doing throughout the day? What are you doing for fun? What are you doing for money? What are your responsibilities look like? What's your community look like? What are your environment, your surroundings like, etc. Okay, once you visualize your ideal day and you get a good sense of that, then look at your average day over the past month or two and compare your ideal day with your current days. Now, there's going to be probably a big gap between them. That's okay. Let's not be hard on ourselves. But then step three is to come up with goals that would bridge the gap between your current days and your ideal days. So for example, let's say like when you do the ideal day visualization, you realize your ideal day involves a lot of travel and you currently not only don't travel, but like you literally don't have the disposable income to be able to travel. Well, then an appropriate goal for you might be to create a new revenue portal such that you can save up and actually be able to travel more, right? I'll be really honest about mine. When I recently like spent time thinking about my ideal day, it was actually in, I do a Q&A in my Instagram stories every Wednesday. So if you don't follow me on Instagram, go check that out. It's at H-I-W-A-A-A-A-A-A-A, I think. I think there are 8 A's, something like that. You should be able to find me. By the way, quick aside, I deleted Instagram off of my phone a few days ago because I decided I was going to take a break from posting just for a few days. But then I was like, let me take it up a notch and not even be able to open the app, because I realize I open it constantly without even realizing. And it has been so liberating. Like, literally, if I didn't need Instagram for work, and I really do need it for work, I would not download it again. And I'm telling you, if you don't need Instagram for work, consider deleting it. But if you're not going to delete it, then at least make sure you're following me, because like, there is good content there. Anyway, so when I was, someone asked me like, what's your ideal day? And I like really thought about it, and there were a lot of things that came up, but then I like thought about it and I was like, my truly ideal day. Like, if I could come up with a day that would be the best day ever, I would be on stage interacting with you guys, like giving some kind of talk, doing fun interactive exercises, doing the shit that we do here every week, but in real life, connecting, like meeting you guys, chatting, like just like really putting this work into practice. Like, that would truly be my ideal day. And I was like, okay, well, I'm pretty far from that right now. What would bridge my current days with that reality? Well, I need a bigger following. So a goal that I would maybe bring through this would be to grow my following. Anyway, so you get the idea. And you'll probably come up with a few things that would bridge your current day-to-day with your ultimate reality. So step four is to pick one goal, just one goal we're going to focus on at a time, because multitasking is actually not a thing. No one's a good multitasker. It doesn't really work. So pick one goal. And for that goal, write a list of non-negotiables. So for example, if you want like a new job, write a list of non-negotiable things that you need in this new job. This is especially important, I would say, if the goal that you're calling in is a new relationship, relationships of any kind, but especially for romantic relationships, especially if you're looking for that kind of like serious life partnership type of relationship, I emphatically recommend making a list. You know, I was watching Summer House, and on this season of Summer House, Carl and Lindsay are engaged, and we do know that at the end of the summer, they call off the engagement and they break up. But at this point in the show, they're still together and they're having so many problems. Now, if you don't watch Summer House, the premise of the show is that it's this shared house in the Hamptons, and the kids go every weekend and, you know, live it up in the Hamptons. It seems very fabulous. I did just say Hamptons, not Hamptons, which just shows you how far I am from the Hamptons. The bitch has never been there, so much so that I can't even say the fucking word right, okay? But maybe this summer I'll go. Maybe this, I just would like to experience it, even though I know our friend says it's like overrated and this and that, but whatever. Like, I have to experience it at some point. Anyway, so it's this shared house in the Hamptons, and there's this couple on the show right now, Carl and Lindsay, and they've both been on the show since the first season, and they became really, really close friends. And then a few years ago, they kind of like dabbled with starting something romantic, but it didn't pan out. And then after that, Carl got sober and he changed a lot. And then they rekindled a couple of years ago, and it was like, it really evolved very fast, but it was actually really defensive. Usually I'm so critical of relationships that move really fast. In this scenario, it didn't seem so bad to me because they had this like years long friendship foundation, right? They get engaged and now we're here this summer and they're having a lot of relationship problems. And one thing I really noticed while watching them is it seems very clear to me that Carl probably wants and needs a partner who is sober, or at the very least a partner who doesn't drink much, like is very moderate with their drinking and like doesn't really get drunk and doesn't get messy when they're drunk, right? But that's something that Carl seems pretty unaware of. And I think this whole thing could have been avoided if before entering into this relationship, Carl really sat down and was like, okay, what are non-negotiables for me in a relationship? And given that he was newly sober, it makes perfect sense that he would need someone who's sober, right? But he hasn't been able, I think, really to even admit this or acknowledge this to himself. And I think a lot of their relationship problems, even though I really do think Lindsay's causing a lot of these relationship problems, I actually kind of put it on Carl a little bit too, because I don't think he's being honest with himself about his wants and needs. Anyway, but yeah, you really want to make a list of your non-negotiables. And then the fifth step for this is everything that's on your list of non-negotiables, ask yourself why that's a non-negotiable for you, and ask yourself why 5 times. And you really want to get to the root of this. And this is actually really just to make sure that you're being really, really authentic. And it doesn't matter what the thing is. Really just what matters is what your motivation is for that thing. For example, I have this friend, Michelle, who has always said like she wants to be with a really rich guy. And when I was playing this game with her and trying to get to the bottom of it, I realized that Michelle really wants to be a stay-at-home mom. Like she, like that's her life's calling. That's her life's purpose. Like she really, like she works just because she has to work, but like she doesn't have any sort of like big career ambitions. Her big ambitions in life are to be a mother. Like that's what she thinks she was put on this planet to do. That's where her skills lie. And she wants to be able to be really, really present with her kids. She wants to have multiple kids. She wants to be able to stay home with them. She wants to be able to be really hands-on with them. And she also wants to be able to have a nice big house and have nice things, right? So she is like, okay, in order to be able to do all of these things, I kind of have to marry someone who's doing really, really well financially. That makes perfect fucking sense to me. But then I have this other friend, Victoria, who always had on her list of partnership that she wants a really wealthy guy. And when we poked around on that, she was like, you know what? I want someone who's richer than my ex because I want to be able to be like, fuck you to him. That's not an authentic soul desire. But see, the actual item is exactly the same. It's kind of the same thing as like with the 1 million followers. It doesn't matter what the thing is. You really want to deduce what its relationship is to you. So every single item on your non-negotiables list, you want to ask yourself why 5 times just to make sure it's really, really authentic. And then once you have your goal, your list of non-negotiables and your whys, you want to keep these really, really close because this is going to be your motivation to keep going through all of this. Now, step 2 is to identify your blocks. And the crux of this step ultimately is one question. Why do you not have this yet? Now, it could be that the reason that you don't have this yet is that you weren't actually clear on what you wanted historically. That's fine. So we just took care of that. But now that we are clear on it, why do you not have it yet? And there are really ultimately 3 reasons why you don't have something. You either don't believe it's possible for you, you don't know how to get there, or you're afraid of what will happen once you get there. And I could rephrase this another way. If there's something that you want and you don't have that thing, it's because you're not taking action towards having that thing. And the reason why you're not taking action is one of 3 reasons, or you're missing one of these 3 things. You're either missing the mindset, you're missing the motivation, or you're missing the methods. Now, the methods is like you just don't know how to go about it. We're going to talk about that later, but I do want to talk about mindset and motivation right now. So by mindset, I mean you have to actually believe that it's possible for you, not just that it's possible, but that it's possible for you. And I think my history with wanting romantic partnership and it not happening really, really, really well illustrates this. I think for a long time growing up, I truly didn't believe that the type of relationship that I wanted was even possible at all. Like when I saw married couples or people in long-term partnerships, I almost kind of judged them. Like it almost made me kind of uncomfortable. Like I remember my senior year of high school, there were these 2 new teachers who came to teach in my school and they were actually married to each other. So the guy taught government or civics or whatever the fuck the class was called. But he didn't teach like the honors one. So not to brag, he wasn't my teacher, but she taught honors psychology, and I took her class, and I thought she was cool as shit. And I would always talk to him in the hallway, and he was really like, they were just this like new, young, hip teacher couple who were like super, super progressive. Like, I remember her class was the first time that I really heard a lot of conversations about gender versus sex, and, you know, the gender being this like social construct, and like, but you know, your sex and your gender being really different, and you know, a lot of things that we previously thought were like gender or like sex based are actually really not. They're social constructs. Like, they're just really, really progressive people, and I thought they were really fucking cool. But I remember I would always be like, it's so weird that they're married, because like, I don't know about marriage. Like, it's so weird how I had this very extreme thing. But then as I got older and like finished college and stuff, I remember I here and there would see couples, like long-term couples, like old couples that had the type of relationship that I would want. And that's when I started to be like, okay, so it is possible. It does exist, but I still didn't think it was possible for me. And there were really two main reasons for that. Number one, I'd only been in very tumultuous, toxic relationships with a lot of like fighting and breaking up and making up and things like that. And that's not what I wanted. So in part, because that's all I'd ever experienced, I was like, well, that's probably all that's possible for me. But the other thing is, I had a lot of insecurities and a lot of like feelings of like, I'm not cool and I'm not good enough. And I knew that I wanted to be with someone who I really admired and I thought was like really cool and just like really, really amazing. And I, looking back on my relationship history, anyone that I even kind of liked, I had a really tumultuous relationship with. The guys that I felt really safe with were guys that kind of like gave me the ick and I was kind of settling for, you know? So I ultimately, even though I did believe that the type of relationship that I wanted existed and was possible for other people, I didn't actually think that it was possible for me. Similarly, there's a Blush Academy member. We're going to call her Rebecca for the sake of this. So Rebecca, we were talking once and she really wants to have a YouTube channel. And I was talking to her about why she hasn't started one. And there are a lot of reasons, but among them was that she just doesn't think that she's like smart and capable enough. Like, she has had experiences in her past that we're going to talk about that have led her to feel like she just doesn't have what it takes to be able to have a successful YouTube channel. Now, that's the motivation part, or that's the mindset part. Sorry. Motivation, there's twofold. So one is like just being really clear on what your goal is, because that in and of itself is motivation. So once you've done step one, you have the motivation on that end. You know your what and you know your why, and that tends to be your motivation. But if you're still not, if your mindset is in check and you know the methods, but there's still something there, it's the other side of the motivation piece. And that is if like there is something that you really, really want on a soul level and you're still not taking action, it might be because of fear of it actually happening. So even though you really, really want it, there could still be fear of what will happen when you get it. And I had this big time when I was trying to call in a relationship and it wasn't happening. A lot of it was because I was so fucking terrified of going through another bad breakup. My entire dating history had been a series of toxic, tumultuous relationships with really bad breakups. And then after my breakup with the comedian, where I was distraught, I was destroyed as a person. I mean, it took months for me to be like a normal human again after that breakup. The last fucking thing I wanted to do was face another breakup that bad. Similarly with Rebecca and the YouTube channel, she had a lot of fears of like trolls and just like people coming at her and things like that. And she also had a lot of fear of judgment from the people that she actually knew. So there were a couple of times where she like did actually post a YouTube video, but then she wasn't promoting them on her socials and stuff because she was really terrified of her friends and family seeing and being like, oh my God, Rebecca's out here starting a YouTube channel. You know, like that's such a really relatable thing. I think everyone kind of has fears like that. Like if you've ever tried to start posting on social media, probably the thing that stopped you was the fear of what people you know will think. So these are all the types of things that could be blocking you and standing you in the way between you and your goals. So to be able to identify your goals, I would ask yourself the following questions. Number one, why has this not happened for me yet? What am I missing? Am I missing motivation? Am I missing mindset? Or do I really just not know the methods? In what ways do I think I'm not good enough for my goals? What beliefs are holding me back from taking action? What fears are holding me back from taking action? Now, step three is to remove the blocks that we just identified. And just to review something I said a minute ago, because I think it's so fucking important. If you have a goal and you have not achieved that goal, it's because you're not taking the necessary action to achieve that goal. And if you are not taking the necessary action to achieve that goal, then you're lacking one or more of these three things: mindset, motivation, or methods. Now, in this section, we're going to tackle mindset and motivation. So the first way that I recommend doing that is rewriting the stories that we attach to our past experiences, because it's really our past experiences that inform whether we believe something is possible for us or not. So going back to when I really wanted a relationship and it wasn't happening for me, one thing that really came up for me was this constant limiting belief that, like, I'm not cool enough, I'm not good enough for the type of guy that I want. So I had to really stop and think to myself, okay, why is it that I think that? Like, where does this belief system come from that I'm not cool enough, I'm not good enough? Because I sure as shit wasn't born thinking that. Like, babies aren't born with limiting beliefs. Babies are born and come onto this planet believing anything is possible for them. And then life happens and that kind of chips away. So I was retracing it and I remembered there was this incident when I first started preschool. Although I should say in Germany, kindergarten and preschool are flipped. So you do kindergarten first and then preschool is the year before the first grade. It's preschool, and then you have the first grade, second grade, etc. So I went to a German kindergarten and then I transferred to the international school for my preschool year. And when I first started kindergarten, the German kindergarten, I only spoke Farsi. So I learned German that year, which was very traumatizing. And then when I transferred to the international school, you're taught in English. So again, it was the second year in a row where I'm starting a new school and I don't speak the language. And I have this one very vivid memory from the very first day. And there were these two girls playing. I didn't know their names at the time. Now I know they're Leia and Lily. And Leia and Lily seemed really cool and really fun. And they were like the cool, fun, pretty girls in the preschool class. And I really wanted to play with them. And I remember them running around playing with each other and like not paying attention to me. And I also like didn't speak the language. So I didn't really know how to go up there and like start talking to them and playing with them. But this is like, I weaved this story in my head at the time when I was fucking like 5 years old, that I was like, wow, I'm such a loser. I'm so ugly. I'm so weird. I'm so not desirable. And that's why Leia and Lily didn't want to play with me, right? That's the story that I'd created and told myself over and over and over again, that was then affecting every other thing in my life where I'm like, oh, I'm not cool enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not wanted enough. Like, I'm outcast. I'm weird. No one wants to be friends with me. Guys don't want to date me. The types of guys that I'm into wouldn't want me, etc. So one day I stopped and I was like, okay, this is how I've chosen to interpret this incident for all of these years now, for like 30 years now. What if there's another explanation? What if, like, why don't I just try rewriting the story? So I sat down with my journal and I was like, okay, so this is the story that I've attached to it. What's an alternative story that could be possible? how about maybe Leia and Lily were just really shy and they were overwhelmed by a bunch of like new kids in the class. So they were just playing with each other because they knew each other and they were shy and they were intimidated, or like they were intimidated by me, or like, you know, there are all these other possible explanations. So I started writing down alternative explanations, alternative stories that we can attach to something. Similarly, I actually did this exercise with Rebecca. So Rebecca, I mentioned she had this limiting belief that she's not smart enough and she's not good enough. So I was like, okay, where did this limiting belief come from? And she recounted a story when she was in the third grade. They did multiplication tables. Like, did you guys do like multiplication tables where it's like, you take one number at a time? Like, we did the ones first and then the twos. So like you go down and multiply by every number through 10, right? And you had to then do like for each number, you had to do a quiz and you had to get it under a certain amount of time to be able to move on. So Rebecca was always really good at school, but she was not good at her multiplication tables. And one day the teacher was kind of like teasing her for how bad she was at multiplication tables. And she internalized this as like, she's stupid. She's far behind from everyone else. Everyone else is so much more advanced from her. She doesn't get things. Like, she can't keep up. She has nothing to offer. And so of course it makes sense that now when she wants to start this YouTube channel, she's like, well, who would pay attention to me? I'm the dumbest kid in class, right? And that's the story that she attached to the teacher teasing her. So I was like, okay, what are some other possible explanations for why the teacher teased you that day? And so we started parsing it out. And one that she came up with that I actually think is so brilliant is like, maybe the teacher was teasing her because Rebecca was so smart and so good at everything else that the teacher was like, oh, it's so funny that she's bad at this one thing when she's so good at everything else. Like, the teacher would have probably never teased her if she wasn't so smart and so good at everything else. You know what I mean? So for every incident that you have that has created this limiting belief and this doubt and this shame in your mind, parse out the story that you attach to the memory and then see if you can come up with some alternative stories. Now, another way that we tackle, and I recommend doing that first, but then I do really recommend doing the subconscious rewiring. So for that, you really want to get yourself into a meditative state and then pull up the memory and then visualize it playing out in a different way. Because our brains actually really can't tell the difference between us visualizing in detail and things that actually happened. So when the painful or shameful incident happened, you created this neural pathway of like, I'm stupid, or I'm awkward, or I'm weird, or I'm this, I'm that, whatever, right? And we tackle these stories in the conscious state by rewriting the stories that we attach. But then subconsciously, you want to go in and give your brain a different experience. So for example, I pulled up the incident with Leia and Lily and pictured them wanting to play with me, or pictured me running up to them and being like, oh my God, hi, I'm Hiva, let's play, you know, or whatever. Rebecca pulled up the memory and pictured the teacher praising her instead of making fun of her and being like, wow, Rebecca's so smart and Rebecca's so good at everything and like blah, blah. And that then gave her brain the experience as though it actually happened. And it starts to build this new neural pathway of like, no, actually, I'm not dumb. Actually, I'm really smart and I'm really great and I can do a lot of things and people admire me and people respect me. So that's the second step. The third step is to reimagine a childhood that would give you a more empowering mindset with regards to this goal. So I mentioned that when I had a goal of, you know, finding my life partner and it wasn't happening, I had limiting beliefs around whether I was good enough or cool enough or like wanted enough to be able to get the type of guy that I wanted, right? So what I would then do is visualize a childhood, and I again would get in a hypnotic state and really just like visualize fully in detail a full childhood where I had a lot of friends and all the cool kids in class wanted to befriend me, and I was just very like magnetic and desirable, and anywhere I went people were like instantly drawn to me and instantly liked me and instantly wanted to be around me, and I never felt socially awkward or weird or whatever. You know, when Rebecca did this and trying to achieve this goal, she visualized a childhood where people were constantly seeking her out for advice and seeking her out for help. I have a friend, Molly, who also was trying to use the tools in the Blush Academy to find her life partner. And we realized that one limiting belief that she had was she grew up in a very strict household where she wasn't allowed to date. And so as a result, she really grappled with embracing herself as an adult sexual woman who's even allowed to date. So she was subconsciously pushing away potential suitors. So what I had her do was visualize a childhood where she had really sex positive parents who she could talk about sex and dating really openly with. And that then gave her brain the experience of, it's okay to date. It's great to date. Like, love and sex and intimacy are really normal, natural, healthy things. And that really gave her the permission. And not long after that, she actually found her partner. Now, the last thing to do to remove the blocks is to really grapple with the fears surrounding, okay, what if this happens? So for this, I really recommend visualizing your worst case scenario. And like literally visualize your worst case scenario, your worst fears playing out. Now you might be thinking like, bitch, why would I do that? Did you not just say 2 seconds ago that our brain can't tell the difference between us visualizing something and something actually happening? Isn't this the opposite? Like, shouldn't we be visualizing success, not visualizing our failures? Yes, 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 and no, and yes, I think are the answers to those questions. Playing out your worst case scenario does sound counterintuitive, but what really happens is it desensitizes us to our worst fears. Facing your fears literally makes them disappear faster than Kate Middleton disappeared from the public eye. Can we take a quick detour? Where the fuck is Kate? Like, I'm not usually a conspiracy theorist, but like, is she okay? Like, is she's alive, right? I do think she's alive. I do think she's alive. I don't believe the conspiracy theory that she's dead. My favorite of the conspiracy theories is that she's getting a BBL. I hope that that's the case, quite frankly. I would love nothing more than for Kate to reemerge a month from now with a giant ass. Like, that would be... like on her tiny little frame, just like a badonkadonk ass. Like, I want to see Kate twerking. I want to see her making her new giant ass clap. No, but like, is she okay? Like, is she okay? Like, I don't, what kind of abdominal surgery? Like, I don't know. My thoughts and prayers go out to her. I really hope that she's okay. But basically what happens is our brains are constantly trying to avoid the unknown. And that's because our brain's real job is to keep us alive. Like, that's really what ultimately its goal is. And so anything that it doesn't know, it's always going to fear, because anything that it knows, even if it's sucked, it knows that it can survive it. Whereas if there's something that you haven't even faced, your brain might be like, well, what if this shit kills you? So if you face your fears by visualizing them and your brain is like, oh, okay, I know what that is now. It's fine. Like, I could handle this. It will make that fear go away. Like, it's really fucking crazy. So like, my biggest fear with, you know, actually finding a relationship was always like, okay, what if I have to face another breakup? Like, I don't want to go through another breakup. And when I was able to go in and visualize it actually happening and me having the strength to walk away, it really desensitized me to that outcome. And I did have to go through another breakup before I was able to find my person, my partner. You know, I had that whole thing with Van Guy, and I did have to confront and face that fear of going through that breakup. And I did. And now I have this partner who's literally everything I ever wanted, who I feel so excited about, who I think is like so cool. And just like, I'm so happy that I didn't settle and that I really did all of this inner work and ended up with someone who makes me feel the way that I always wanted to feel in a relationship. Rebecca had to do this. So like, she had a lot of fears around trolls, and she also had fears around like being judged by people that she knew. So she just went in, and there's an NRP in the Blush Academy that really guides you in this, but you can also do it yourself. Like, you could record something for yourself where you, you know, guide yourself into a hypnotic state and then guide yourself to really visualize your worst case scenario playing out and be like, okay, then what? What would I do then? You know, step four is to create your action plan. Now, we talked a little bit about how if you're not taking action, it's because you either don't have the mindset, you don't have the motivation, or you don't know the methods. And it's true that sometimes we really don't know the methods, right? And when that is the case, I recommend finding other people who've achieved the goal that you want or something similar and looking at what they did. But more often than not, I think it's the case that we actually know what we need to do. We're just scared to do it. And for this, I really recommend journaling. What is something I would do if I was more confident? And the real joke is, confidence isn't something that you have. It's something that you do. It's taking action that builds confidence, not the other way around. And oftentimes, once you've gone through steps one through three, then this part will actually come really naturally, right? Like for me with the partnership thing, I wasn't on apps because I was really afraid of owning what I wanted and just like going after it and owning my sexuality and, you know, all of these various fears that I had. But once I did steps one through three and I worked through a lot of these limiting beliefs, then the getting on dating apps action step seemed very obvious to me. Like, I knew exactly what I needed to do and I just did it, right? But sometimes once you figure out what you need to do, you still feel like you're like not ready to take the steps. And you know, that's where the whole like, oh, if I were more confident, I would do this, blah, blah, blah. But again, confidence isn't something that you have. It's not something that you are. It's something that you do. And it's by doing that you get the confidence. So if you're stuck at this step, this is where mental rehearsal comes in. So you literally visualize yourself taking the steps that you need to do. And by visualizing yourself, you're actually priming your brain and your body to be able to really carry out that action. And this is something that Rebecca had to do. So there is in the Blush Academy a mental rehearsal neural rewiring practice. And she sat and for a week, every single day, she did that NRP where she visualized herself recording a video, uploading it, editing it, promoting it, doing all of these steps. And then after a week of visualization, she actually did it. She actually took the steps and started her YouTube channel. Now, step five is just to take the action, but there's nothing to say for step five, because if you've done steps one through four, then step five comes really fucking naturally. So that's it. That's your five-step plan to achieve any goals, any dreams, achieve truly your dream life that you want this year. Because as of literally today, it is a new year, not only in Persian culture, but astrologically speaking, today is the first day of the astrological new year. It's the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. So we have nature, we have trees blooming, we have plants growing. We have spring produce harvesting. I mean, have you had a fucking spring pea? Do you know how good that shit is? We have asparagus coming into season and like really good, you know, the really thick stalks of asparagus. We have sugar snap peas. We have snow peas. We have you know, all the good spring produce. Flowers are blooming. My Instagram is about to look so fucking sick because all the edible flowers are coming in. I mean, chive blossoms. Have you had a chive blossom? There are these little purple, like lavendery looking petals that just look like confetti when you sprinkle them on food, and they taste like chives. They're so fucking good. I mean, you have nature growing with you right now. It is the time when you're supported by nature to really make changes in your life. And now you know exactly what to do. You know exactly where to start to really make your dreams come true. And before we wrap up the show, we like to end every week with a foods that make you blush segment, where I talk about foods that have nutrients that support you in the changes that you want to implement this week. And since we talked a lot about making these big changes, I wanted to talk about foods that really support your nervous system so that you can handle it. But also, I thought it would be fun to have a fun twist on this. And since we talked a lot about Persian New Year's, I mean, not that much, but a little bit, there's a lot of symbolism in Persian New Year's and Nowruz. And actually, traditionally, you make an altar leading up to the new year and you leave it up for a couple of weeks in the new year, and each item on the altar has a symbol, and there are a lot of food items on the altar. So I wanted to talk about five of the food items that are part of Persian culture for Nowruz, for Persian New Year's, and what they symbolize, and also how they actually support your nervous system also. So the first one is apples. And in Persian culture, it's a symbol of beauty, health, and friendship. And apples are really good for your nervous system. They actually have neuroprotective properties from antioxidants like quercetin, which, by the way, is a word that I've never said out loud. I've only read and written, so I don't know if I pronounced that right. Plus, it has a lot of fiber, which is really good for your gut health, which also supports your nervous system via the gut-brain axis. The second one is garlic. In Persian culture, it is a symbol of health and also a symbol of the importance of facing sometimes uncomfortable things in order to be able to grow and prosper. And garlic is really anti-inflammatory, which protects the nerve cells. Pomegranate in Persian culture is a symbol of abundance and prosperity, and it benefits the nervous system because it supports cognitive function and it reduces the risk of neurodegenerative disease, for some reason that's a very hard word for me to say. The Nowruz altar, one of the focal pieces of it, is leading up to the new year. You're supposed to sprout some kind of like seeds or beans or lentils or whatever, and you put the sprouts on the altar, and then after a few weeks you throw it into a moving body of water. But the sprouts themselves are a symbol of rebirth and new beginnings. And sprouts or microgreens are really fucking good for the nervous system. They're rich in vitamins E, C, and beta carotene, all of which are good for the nervous system. And they have a lot of enzymes that help with digestion, which again benefits the nervous system via the gut-brain axis. And the last food that we're going to talk about today is sumac, which is a Persian spice. It has kind of like a tart flavor profile to it. I love sumac. It's one of my favorite things. In Persian culture, you customarily eat it with kebab, but also on rice. I love having it on rice with grilled tomato. Very, very Persian. And it is a symbol of happiness, patience, and perseverance. And it benefits the nervous system because it reduces oxidative stress. Now, before we wrap up the episode for good for the week, we end every episode by listing three new things that we're grateful for that week. And the reason that we do this is because gratitude has been scientifically proven to make you a more happy and optimistic person. The only key is you don't want to just reach for the obvious things and repeat yourself all the time, right? Like, I'm grateful for my my parents, my partner, my dog, whatever. Instead, you really want to scan through your day, or in this case, scan through your week and find three new things that you're grateful for, because it's the process of scanning and identifying these things that's actually strengthening the part of your brain that's looking for the good. So I invite you, as I list three new things that I'm grateful for this week, for you to also scan your week and identify three new things that you're grateful for. So I am grateful I won a raffle prize at Solid Core last weekend. So I'm really grateful for that. And I remember as I was entering my name into the raffle, I was thinking, I never win anything, la la la. And then I even was like, universe, it would be so cool if I won, just to like, for you to show me that I can win things. And then I did win. So how fucking cool is that? Apparently I'm winning a 14 karat gold ring and also some services at a med spa. So very exciting. I don't actually have my prizes yet, but it's just the concept of winning that, you know, I'm excited about. I am grateful. Oh my God. I'm grateful for Sumo Citrus. Have you had Sumo Citrus, like Sumo Oranges, Sumo Mandarin? I don't know what you want to call it. It's a citrus fruit. It's called Sumo. It has a very thick pith. And it's the fucking best citrus fruit out there, and they're in season right now and they're so good. Go buy one. Please go buy one, eat it, and then post it on Instagram and tag me so that I can see that you're eating it. Yeah, so good. You're welcome. You will love them. And I'm grateful that I didn't get a dry socket and like nothing crazy has happened with the tooth, although I'm very aware of the gap and it feels very weird to be speaking. This is the most I've spoken since surgery. So it's felt really weird, but I'm grateful that it all went well and there's no like blood everywhere. My first day working out again, like he was like, when you work out for the first time, you're probably going to start bleeding. So before class, I went to the instructor. I was like, hey, just a heads up, I might start bleeding from my mouth if it happens. Apparently, it's not a big deal. It just would. And she's like, okay, like, please don't, you fucking weirdo. But yeah, so I'm grateful that I didn't bleed then and that I didn't bleed today. And I'm so grateful to be back here. It really felt like part of me was missing when I wasn't recording last week. So I'm really grateful for you guys this week, every week, from now until forever. If you're a Blush Academy member, go check out the challenge. If you're not, it's never too late to become a Blush Academy member. The challenge in the Academy is broken down into five modules that follow the, you know, five steps that we talked about today. But the first module is actually just focusing on the nervous system so that you really have the capability to do the rest of the steps. So that the nervous system week starts today. If you haven't looked at the challenge yet, last week it went live with a pre-week, which was just clearing space. You can go through that kind of quickly. And then, and the challenge is designed such that there is something for every day, but it's also, if you miss a day, you'll be able to catch up. So I spent a tremendous amount of time making it such that it is a bit of a challenge and it does push you, but it's also, you'll be able to follow it. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. If you learned something here today, share this with someone who you think would take something from it. I mean, share the secrets. We can't just gatekeep our secrets, right? We want other people to be able to grow and evolve and get the things that they want in life also, or maybe not. Maybe you're just a selfish kind of bitch. And if that's the case, I love that for you. And I will see you next Tuesday, my cute little cunts. Okay. Bye.